That was a blessing. He hideth my soul. That's a great old hymn. Take your Bibles, Judges chapter 6, way back. Judges chapter 6. And we'll read some scripture there. Matter of fact, quite a bit of scripture there. But I want to speak today about miracles. And it's a terrible thing, if you think about it, to hear about all the miracles and never to experience them. To read this happened and this person had this experience or they saw this or whatever, and you go back in the Bible and how close they were to God, and then you look at your own life and you say, boy, I really want that. God always wants to work miracles in our lives. And we'll see from the scripture today all about that, because everybody hears a miracle in one way or another. You're marvelous. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Your life is a miracle. But we'll begin reading here in verse 1. And this is the book of Judges, chapter 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come to unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it, just like grasshoppers, just eating everything as they go. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when, what a great word in the Bible, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. You know, God sometimes is just waiting for a cry, a sincere cry. We will see as we go through the message today that if we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. If we call out, if we seek him with all of our heart, he will be found of us. And these are Bible principles. And not so much all the miracles out here, but the miracles that he does in our hearts. And we'll see that. The Bible goes on. I am in verse 9. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So he's working, he's gathering, getting food, but he's hiding that. This is Gideon. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That's quite a compliment. Amen? Now, here's Gideon, and he's hiding. His father was not a religious man. Actually, he was an idolater. But here's Gideon, thou mighty man of valor, the Lord is with thee. And look what he says. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? God, if you're with us, what's going on here? And it says, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Where are the miracles? We heard about them. If you're for us, if you're with us, why are we in the shape that we're in? And the Bible says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. If God be for us, who can be against us? All God needs is a volunteer. All God needs is a humble servant that wants to be used of God, and God will certainly use him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, bless your word today. Work miracles in our service today. Thank you for the grace that you show to us and what you accomplish in each one of us. And we'll give you the glory for helping us in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great message when you preach on miracles. I like to preach on miracles. Again, when you read some of these stories, you say, well, God's never done that for me. Well, God can do a lot for us. These things, these principles are in the Bible. The miracles in the Bible, they're endless, right? The virgin birth, the feeding of the 5,000, crossing of the Red Sea. I mean, bing, bing, bing. There's all kinds of miracles that only could be accomplished by God. Jeremiah 32:17, Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heaven and the earth, and behold, there is nothing too hard for thee, or is anything too hard for thee, and nothing is too hard for the Lord. You think about creation. What a miracle. Amen? And again, you could go on and on and on. In the Bible, there was a prophet by the name of Elijah, and Elijah worked miracles. And you can read about that in 1 and 2 Kings. Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He wanted to do twice the miracles that Elijah did. And guess what? He did twice the miracles that Elijah did. Elijah, remember, he called down fire from heaven and had that that challenge with the prophets of Baal, and then he ran from Jezebel, but God restored him. And he's passing by, and he's seeing Elisha. Elisha is just plowing with a yoke of oxen. And he's the 12th yoke of oxen. And there's 12 of them. He's the last one. I heard a preacher preach a message on that one time on the last plowman. And he brought out how he had to eat all the dust, you know. And so this was a humble man, this man, Elisha. And I'm sure he said when he saw Elijah, these rows are so long and that sun is so hot and I'm so tired, I think I've been called to preach. That's a joke. Okay. Very good. Thank you very much. But anyway, Elijah casts his mantle on him. And ultimately, Elisha follows Elijah, and he's just his servant. That's what he is. He's just his servant. But he did twice the miracles. He was one short, and he died. One miracle short, and he died. But there was an enemy coming, and these men had a body of a man that they were going to bury, and they threw it in the sepulcher of Elijah, and when it touched his bones, he was restored to life. That was a miracle. And so, whether life or death, he worked twice the miracles. And so you read about all these things in the Bible, all these miracles, and they're true. Every one of them is true, happened just the way it says. A miracle is a supernatural work of God. Anybody need a miracle? I mean, really. Name an Old Testament miracle. Anybody name an Old Testament miracle that I didn't name? Yes. The Red Sea, okay. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay, that's a miracle. Anybody else? Old Testament miracle? The what? Daniel and the lions then. Shut the mouths of lions. Is that what you were going to say? Oh, yeah. Okay, there's that. Remember in Joshua, the sun stood still? I mean, and you can go through the Old Testament and see all these miracles. Can anybody name a New Testament miracle? Resurrection. That's a good miracle. Yes. Okay. Yeah, he put his ear back on. Amen. The what? Some of the blind men. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. So you have Old Testament miracles. You have New Testament miracles. Any miracles in the future that God promises to work? Can you think of any? Rapture. Boy, that's a good one. Heaven. There's a place prepared for us, you know, and we're going to be with the Lord forever and forever. And this one you don't have to say anything about, but there are modern day miracles. And I'm going to show you some of those as we go through the scripture today. Do you believe in miracles? Hope you do, because miracles are true. In Exodus chapter 4, God sends Moses back to the children of Israel to deliver them from Egyptian bondage. And he's saying, well, they're not going to listen to me. Who shall I say sent me? And God said, I am that I am. Tell them I am sent you. And the New Testament proves that that was God. You know, I am the bread, I am the life, I am the truth, I am the water of life, etc., etc. But God said, I will do two miracles with you, and that will be a sign unto Israel. The first one is, throw your rod down. And he threw it down, and it became a viper, became a snake. And Moses went this way. And God says, pick it up by the tail. And, well, if Moses is going this way, the snake's going after him, right? But God says, pick it up by the tail. So Moses stops, turns around, and then he grabs it by the tail, right? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What a picture in the Old Testament. And so it becomes a serpent, and it becomes a rod again. And so there's a miracle. And God says, now, if they don't believe you for the first sign, they'll believe you for the second sign. Put your hand in your breast and pull it out. And it was leprous, white as snow. And God says, put it in again. He put it in again. He said, pull it out. And it was clean, like it was before. He says, if they don't believe the first sign, show them the second sign. And you know how all the miracles there that God performed just to get Israel out of Egypt. But in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1:22, the Bible says the Jews require a sign. Well, this was for the Jewish nation in Exodus. It's for the Jewish nation in the book of Revelation. That's why you have the same plagues, etc., in the book of Revelation. And that's a Bible study. But they were miracles that somebody could see and say, God is a powerful God. And we need to listen to him. Amen? We need to follow him. We need to seek him. Because he is our helper and he is our strength. So, amen. That's true today. Maybe not for a miracle like that, but there are miracles that we will enjoy. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 13, we read it. Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is this befallen us? Where be all the miracles that our fathers told us of? I want to give you three things today. I usually don't do points, but I want to give you three things so maybe it'll etch in your mind. Amen? You said, well, I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, where are we? But maybe you'll remember it more like this. The first one is, miracles usually come during difficult times. You'll find that true in the Bible. Number two, they rejoice the heart and cause great wonder when God shows up. Amen. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. I mean, when the miracle is there, boy, you have a whole different attitude. And the third thing is, many times, miracles are quickly and easily forgotten. Miracles. Boy, there's a lot of miracles in our lives, aren't there? A lot of times when we prayed and God answered prayer or did works in other people or us, and we were thrilled. We were so, I mean, it was such a blessing. Sometimes it's easy to forget. In our text in Judges, actually in the book of Judges, you have the Judges cycle. This is just one of the cycles. There's six times that Israel went through this cycle. The cycle is sin, servitude, supplication, salvation. They disobeyed God. They went away from God. So they were put into bondage. They prayed, and God sent them a deliverer. You'll find that six times in the book of Judges. And this is one of those times. Sin, servitude, supplication, salvation. So here's the bondage. God help me. Amen? God does. And then we thank God for it. But sometimes we go right back. And that's certainly the Judges cycle. Martin Marty wrote in Places Along the Way, miracles can occur without special effects. It takes more doing for a holy God to forgive an errant person than it does to part the waters of the sea. So, every believer is a miracle of God. Amen? It's not we're seeing the sea parted. We experience that miracle all the time. But how soon we forget. How could we ever forget the day we got saved? How could we ever forget that? I mean, when you look back at that, and it was a specific day, it was a specific time where God was dealing with us, showed us that we were sinners, that we needed a Savior, we believed in Jesus Christ, that He died on a cross for our sins, and we asked Him to be our Savior and forgive all of our sin. And something happened that day. Amen? There was transformation. How could we ever forget the day we were saved? Amen? Or just no big deal. That's the biggest deal you'll ever have in life. Amen? Because it assures you of eternal life. But I want to look at the first reason today, and that it usually comes during difficult times. We could all use a miracle today. Amen? I'm sure. But there's not always a miracle of deliverance, but there is always a miracle of grace. If you want the miracle of grace, it can be at any time, in any circumstance. Maybe the deliverance can't be. Well, I prayed, you know, you probably read on the news that there was a lottery ticket sold in Michigan for $1.something billion. One person won it, right? And when I read that, I said, boy, I'm sure glad I wasn't the person that bought that. Oh, the tendency is, where did they buy it? Where did they buy it, you know? But wouldn't we rather have a soul saved? Amen? Would we rather win a soul than win the lottery? You know, and you just think about these things, because miracles are something that are so powerful in our lives. In 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read some of these verses. This is about the Apostle Paul, and he's asking God to deliver him from this thorn in the flesh. He couldn't see. His eyes were bad. So he said, God, take away this thorn. He prayed three times. You're familiar with it. Amen? And God said, Paul, I'm not going to take away the thorn in your flesh. He said, but my grace is sufficient for you. And it says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. God, take this away. God, help me with this. God, remove this. God, give me this. And God says, no, I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to give you the grace to go through it. Amen. So no matter what the circumstance, that is a real miracle. Again, a lot of people, myself included, many times, we're not interested in a miracle of grace. We're interested in a miracle of deliverance. We want delivered. We want circumstances changed. We don't just want to get through something with grace and with comfort, right, and with joy. We want God to change that circumstance. And sometimes God says, no. The three Hebrew children, you know, our God's able to deliver us. But if not, we're not going to do the wrong thing. Esther. Who knows whether I've come to the kingdom for such a time as this? You know, if I perish, I perish. Those are powerful words, because God was with those people. In John chapter 6 and verse 2, and a great multitude followed him, followed Jesus, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. They said, man, look at what he's doing there. That's why they followed him. It says in the same chapter, verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. The miracle provided something for the flesh. Amen. I mean, I'll follow whoever is feeding me, right? And so they followed him for the loaves, not just for the miracles. Be careful about circumstantial miracles, or what seems to be, you know, because the devil can work miracles too. Remember back in Egypt, the magicians, or wasn't it Pharaoh's magicians? Isn't that what they called them? And they worked the same miracles that Moses was working, you know? And so the devil can do that. Revelation 13, 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. If he's the Antichrist, he went through everything that Christ went through. He had a wound by the sword, but he did live. There was a resurrection for Christ. And so maybe these things go together here. You have Revelation 16, 14. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. Revelation 19, 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. And you go on and you go on. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we find that Satan is an angel of light. And it says he's transformed into an angel of light. We can see the roaring lion coming. Amen? I mean, he's also a roaring lion. And sometimes he shows up like a roaring lion. He's easy to identify when he's a roaring lion. But when he's an angel of light, he deceives many. And it says later in that chapter, and no marvel, for even his ministers have transformed themselves into the angels of light, ministers of light. And so you have to go by the truth of the Word of God. Amen? No, but I saw it with my own eyes. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. Amen? And sight can deceive you. Looks can deceive you. Amen? Even words can deceive you. That's why we always go back to the Scripture. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. This is the Antichrist. This will be for the tribulation period. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If they believe the truth, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen? The truth, there's a spirit of truth and a spirit of error. The spirit of truth is from God. The spirit of error is from the devil. So we have to come back to the Bible. Well, what about this and what about this? And I saw this and I saw this. You have to make sure it's according to the Scriptures. Amen? But there are miracles. Back to our thought. Miracles come at difficult times. The most popular miracle, I think, in the Bible is the parting of the Red Sea. That was a difficult time. That was a bad, bad time. But if you check out the formula, miracles usually come at a bad time. They rejoice the heart and cause great wonder. They're many times quickly and easily forgotten. In Exodus, you don't have to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 14, in verse 10 and 11, Israel is delivered out of Egyptian bondage and they come up to the Red Sea. Okay, everything's going good so far, but now it's not going so good. And it says that when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Why did you bring us here? But didn't you see all those miracles, you know? And so they forgot those miracles. Now they're in trouble. Well, so Moses is going to get involved here. Chapter 14, verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Can you imagine that, going through that miracle, if that happened to you? This is not what Reader's Digest calls it, the Red Sea, that the wheels of the chariots of Pharaoh got bogged down in the mud. This is the Red Sea. A wall of water on this side, a wall of water on that side. That's a miracle. I'm walking through there. I get to the other side. And chapter 15 and verse 1, they sang the song of Moses. Man, they're singing. Isn't that our formula? They usually come at difficult times. They cause great joy and wonder. But then something else happened. So they come to a place. Oh, there's so much to read here. In chapter 15, verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now there's no water, fresh water. They've just come through the Red Sea, plus all the miracles. There were 10 plagues in Egypt, and finally they got out. They crossed the Red Sea. Are you with me? And now they don't have any fresh water. So they murmured against Moses. Don't you think if God could part the Red Sea, he could give them water? You know, guess what? He showed them a tree. They threw the tree in the bitter waters, and the waters were made sweet. Another miracle. Amen? Okay, there's no more murmuring now, right? They will never murmur again. Nobody's ever going to doubt God again. They're never going to get upset and say, where is God? I mean, after that many miracles, I've said about some of the things God has done in my life, God, if you never do another thing for me, you can take me to heaven right now. That's all I need. Major miracles that sometimes just, when the trouble comes. Well, chapter 16, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came in the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. It's amazing. And we'll stop there, but it just keeps right on going. Amen. Something's wrong in here. Something wasn't wrong out here. Something was wrong in here. They forgot all the blessings of the Lord. A miracle of grace is much greater than a miracle of circumstances. Believe me. And the scriptures will bear this out. Remember in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, and they went to preach, and they were going to go here, and the Spirit suffered them not to go there. They ended up in Philippi. Great, great ministry was established there, but they got thrown in prison. And they were beaten, their backs are bloody, their hands and feet are in stocks, they're going to die in the next morning. Again, I know I say this all the time, but this is Acts chapter 16. And at midnight, they sang praises unto God. At midnight. And that was a wonderful testimony. Amen? Would you be singing at midnight if that was you? You know, I try and put myself in there. You never know unless you're in the situation. But they're singing praises to God. Their spirits were set at liberty before their bodies were set at liberty. Yeah, there was a miracle. There was a great earthquake. And all these prisoners were freed. You know, their jail doors were open, but they didn't run away. I mean, that's a miracle too. And so here they are. Here's this great miracle. What a blessing that is. But they were praising God before that miracle. The miracle of grace is greater than the miracle of circumstances. In Colossians 1:11, here's my message. I have a few points after this, but this is the meat. This is the meat of the message. Because this is what's possible. We have a miracle-working God. Amen? In Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. Now that's a miracle. Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Amen? That's a miracle. I've said before, everybody waits, but some wait impatiently. You wait for the train's going to take its old time. Amen? You ever get mad at a train? And many people have hurt a train's feelings, calling it a stupid train, dumb train, right? You know, I mean, that's sad to make a train feel like that. Yeah, but I mean, stupid train. Is it a stupid train? You're waiting. Might as well sing or do something. Amen? But here, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. That's how you know that God is working in your life. You say, well, I never had that. Well, it works if God's working, because it is God that worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. And He just said, strengthened with might in the inner man here, right? According to His glorious power. It's not yours, it's His. And He says, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Boy, will that be a real miracle in my life if God, you know, God can do that in anybody's life. I've looked at people over the years and said, God, I don't know if they'll ever get saved. Man, that's rough. There's so much pride. There's so much carnality. There's so much, oh, man, I don't know if they'd ever, and I saw some of those people get saved. God can save anybody, amen. God can change anybody. God can do this. Certainly for a saved person, God could do this. Here's another one. And by the way, that's a miracle of grace. Romans 12:8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. I know what it is to be merciful here. I know what to say. Oh, yeah, that's okay. You know, we all make mistakes. Well, yeah, I know what to say. But to do it with cheerfulness. Amen? Sometimes we know what we're supposed to do, and we know what we're supposed to say, and we say it, but it's not from here. It's maybe for a show or maybe for some other reason, but for it to be from here, that's a miracle. So here's what you have. Long-suffering with joyfulness, mercy with cheerfulness. Man, isn't that the way to live? I am so mad today. I am so disappointed about so many things. I am so upset. God can work a miracle. He can work a miracle in your heart. Amen? And I'm not up here saying I have that all the time. I mean, it's not one and done, right? But it's as you submit to the Lord. Lord, how would you have me respond? Lord, please be with me. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. God, spend time in the Word. Amen? Memorize the Bible. And when that time comes where you're tempted, quote the scripture that goes with the temptation. That's what Jesus did, and the devil left him. Amen? And angels came and ministered unto him. Barnes writes this. From me, about John 15, that's where Jesus said, from me is thy fruit found. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Without me ye can do nothing. And he says this, human nature by itself can as little bear fruit well-pleasing to God as this tree or that tree. You're not going to go out on a pine tree and find apples. Amen? You're just not going to find them. It has to be the right root. It has to be the right power according to his glorious power. We need not just skip over these verses. This is our life. When Christ, excuse me, chocolate, right? Okay. Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then there's life in us. Amen? His resurrection power, his glorious power. In James chapter 3, let me just read a few verses here. James chapter 3. The wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, without partiality, without hypocrisy. It's sown in peace of them that make peace, right? This is powerful. This is the wisdom that's from above. The wisdom that's from below is earthly, sensual, devilish. So you have a spirit of anger, a spirit of wrath. You have a spirit of God, a spirit of liberty, a spirit of joy. Amen? And it's just who we want to empower us. James chapter 1, or maybe it's chapter 2, but it says, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. What does the wrath of man do? It quenches the spirit, and it grieves the spirit. Well, that's the one you need to live this peaceable life. You need the Spirit. It's the Spirit of wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth all men liberally. There's answers for all of this, and they're miracles. You ever talk to somebody that has it really bad, but you don't know it? They're still praising the Lord. Doesn't mean we don't share our prayer requests. But you know there's a different spirit there. Excuse me. Wrote this. He said, the Lord knows right well that you cannot change your own heart. You can't do it. You cannot cleanse your own nature. But he also knows that he can do it. Well, let me just read it. He can cause the Ethiopian to change his skin and the leopard his spots. That's unnatural, but God can do anything. Hear this and be astonished. He can create you a second time. He can cause you to be born again, and that's a miracle of grace, but the Holy Ghost performs it because you are born of the Spirit. Born again people are different. Amen? And saved people have the Spirit of God. Well, but we can quench that spirit. We can grieve that spirit. And we can be like the natural man. And we can be just like a lost person. But we don't want to live like that because then we don't have a testimony. Because the miracle is a testimony. And it doesn't have to be a miracle of your car starting. Some people, if your car starts, it is a miracle. Amen? But it doesn't have to be a circumstantial miracle. It's a miracle in you. What happened to you? Why are you so changed? Why this? Why that? That's a miracle. And then people desire that because, man, I'd want that too. Patience with joyfulness, mercy with cheerfulness. Man, boy, what a blessing to have that. Second Chronicles, I won't read the whole story. I'll probably just read the first and last verse. In chapter 33, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He's a king. He's not a good king. We come to the, let me see if I got the right verse here. Verse 13, it says, verse 12, and when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. The psalmist said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. He says that three times in Psalm 119 in the beginning part of it. Sometimes affliction causes us to seek God. Judges cycle, sin, servitude, supplication, salvation. It's all through the scriptures. Amen? Something is wrong. I need a miracle. And God works a miracle. Oh, praise God. But we're prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God we love. We're prone to forget. That's why it's good to reminisce. That's why while I was musing, the fire burned. While I was thinking about what God has done for me, it's such a blessing. Amen? Because it is a blessing. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 15, they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. You know this about the maniac of Gadara. And had the legion sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. There are no words in the Bible that aren't there for a particular purpose. They're all there for a reason. And here's a maniac. Mankind couldn't do anything with him. He couldn't do anything for himself. They'd bind him. He'd break those. He ran naked in the tombs. He cut himself. Everybody was afraid of him. Jesus comes along. Now he's sitting, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. Wow. But God says there in the Word, he's in his right mind. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We cast down imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So the truth sets us free. Amen? We come back to the truth. And it's a miracle what it does in our life. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him, God, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. These are miracles. They're miracles of grace. In Acts chapter 3, there was a lame man, and he was outside the temple, and Peter and John are going up there, and he's begging. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he walking, leaping, and praising God. Sin, servitude, supplication, salvation. Man, I'm afflicted. I need a miracle. God works a miracle. It's great joy. I don't know what happened to that guy after that, but sometimes it's typical to forget what God has done. That's like where are the nine? Remember the 10 lepers that came to be cured of their leprosy from the Lord? And he said, go show yourself to the priest. But one came back to give God glory. And Jesus said, where are the nine? Were there not 10 cleansed? And they were on their way. Yeah, well, let's enjoy the miracle and forget the Savior. But one came back. And that's a great story. But here we come to Acts chapter 4. Excuse me. Well, I've asked for chocolate. Nobody gave it to me, so just forget it. Just stay seated. No, I got water. Bob gets me water all the time. No, Pat, don't. I don't want any. She's going to get chocolate. Okay, let's be dismissed in prayer. Amen? But in Acts chapter 4, the reason this man was given this miracle was to affect some other people. And it says in chapter 4 and verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. They could say nothing against it. All these people, they said, man, I know that guy. They could say nothing against it. And then in verse 16, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. We cannot deny it. A miracle is an undeniable supernatural work of God. That's okay, Richard. That's okay. I don't. Are you going to eat it? Richard's going to eat it, yeah. A miracle is something that there's not a human explanation for it. Sometimes people get saved and they're religious and they're moral and all of this. And sometimes you don't notice the change so much, you know, but it becomes more real in their hearts and they have the power of God and they can win somebody to the Lord, etc., etc. Sometimes we come from the other side of the tracks and people know who we are and they say, what happened to so-and-so? Sometimes people get saved and they're kind of out on the fringe. They're really not, I don't know, real close to the Lord. And then all of a sudden, and people know that, but all of a sudden something happens. It's called a miracle. Something happens in a heart and they say, I'm going to love God with all my heart. I'm going to serve him with all my might. I'm going to have the right spirit and the right attitude, and we'll get to that in just a second. And people go, man, what happened to you? That's a miracle. And that miracle is undeniable. Amen? It is undeniable, and God certainly does use it. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me thine heart. What kind of a miracle do you need? Beside paying the bills or something like that? What kind of a miracle do we need in our hearts today? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. There are miracles of providence. There are miracles of prophecy. There are miracles of perception, that you finally get it. God opened your eyes, like the servant in the Old Testament. God opened his eyes that he can see. All of a sudden, your eyes, that's a miracle of God. Amen? What kind of miracle you need? There's all kinds of providence in our life. But let me just quote some verse here. I just sat down last night, and I just wrote a bunch of verses. I don't know if I'll add to it or take away from it. But they're all about the Holy Spirit in you, because he's the one that works the miracles. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We're born of the Spirit. Amen. You have to be born again of the Spirit. It's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We're kept by the Spirit. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I love God. That's not me. That's the Spirit that's in me. His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that we're the children of God. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost and mean it. You're Lord of my life, Lord. Lord of my life. That's the Holy Spirit working in your heart. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those are fruits of the Spirit. It's not works of the flesh. That's what God does in you. Amen? That's a miracle. His Spirit bears witness with ours. I quoted that. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. We are led of the Spirit. The Spirit always did not speak of himself. He always magnified Christ. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Empowered by the Spirit. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power of God. So if you get anything today, it's not, I've stumbled, I've coughed, amen? It's just the Word of God. That's where the power comes from. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. That's to all of the churches in the book of Revelation. Eye hath not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. So we talk about loving God. Ah, no big deal. We talk about showing mercy and being cheerful in it. Ah, that's not for me. That's not what I do. The Spirit of God is nowhere near that. He is nowhere near that because that's not what he would want. He wants to do to please the Lord. Amen? And so we find out all these things. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If your devotions are dry, pray and ask God to come and meet with you. Amen? We worship him in spirit and truth. We sing in the Spirit. Sometimes it is hard because it's just like when the seed is sown and the devil comes like the raven and plucks the seed out and goes his way. Sometimes when we're singing, these songs are such, they're hymns of praise and worship. They're worship songs. And so many times while we're singing, we're thinking about something else. And we just come back. We want to sing in the Spirit. And we want to make that song to the Lord. And when you come to church, if you come right with God, you get so much more. Amen? So much more because the Spirit of God wants to work and perform a miracle. You have pray in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Miracle. God wants to do a miracle today. Amen? Because so many people are in bondage. The enemy is winning. We have loved ones, friends, neighbors that don't know the Lord. They need to be saved. Amen. Our church, we have an opportunity to invite anybody to come to fill this building. Amen. That they might hear the gospel too and be saved. Or so we can send missionaries out. All the work of God, all the miracles of God. Sometimes there's something we read about a missionary, and boy, he's doing a great work. And we think, well, I'm just back here in the church, and he's out doing the work. Paul said that I might have fruit abound to your account. And as we support a missionary, and he goes and he does his work, we were talking with Sarah, and she started a class. She teaches these children in New Guinea. They've taught them an alphabet. They've taught them how to read that alphabet in English. And now she's teaching. She calls them the little kids and I guess the big kids, right? The what? The littles. And these kids are learning about Jesus. They're getting saved. They're going back to their villages, winning their parents. I mean, it's phenomenal. Amen? Say, that's a miracle. Yeah, but there are miracles here too. Just as many miracles here, because like the story, boy, I got to stop. Amen? Just one more story. Just like when David defeated the enemy and he came back, but there were those that stayed by the stuff. And they parted alike with the spoil from defeating the enemy, just as much as those that went out and fought the battle, because they stayed by the stuff. Stay by the stuff. That's a miracle. Amen? What do you want in your heart? Would you want comfort? Would you want God's strength? Would you want more love for God? Would you want peace that comes from the Spirit of God? Would you want to be enlightened? Would you want the Bible to open up? Amen? Whatever that miracle is, God wants to perform that. And if you'll just ask him, he'll begin to do that in your heart. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, thank you for the miracle of our salvation. Man, what a miracle that was. May we never forget it. And because of that miracle, Father, may we give you the glory and praise all of our life. May we live for you. May we speak for you. May we forgive for you. May we honor you in all that our hand finds to do. Perform some miracles today, Lord, that only you can do. Only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, please.